Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
Before you're seated, I want to read from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. These are probably some well-known verses of scripture for you. I'm sure at one point you've read these or heard them and they've encouraged you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Today I want to title the message, Trusting Through Life's Uncertainties. Trusting Through Life's Uncertainties. You may be seated. Trusting Through Life's Uncertainties. Well, they are the most memorized verses of Proverbs. Verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Hallelujah. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If there was such a thing as a perfect Christian, it would be one who had perfect trust in the Lord. Trust seems like a simple thing, but it often takes a lifetime to master. See, in life, we are so often faced with things for which we're not really equipped. Many problems leave us frustrated and fractured. The pressures of life mount up and we lose our footing. We often hear, well, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know where to go. Who can I call upon? What should I do? It's difficult when life throws curveballs, when things happen that, well, we just didn't expect, or when adversity comes. What do we do then? See, because we all face times of difficulty and uncertainty, adversity comes in many forms. There may be the heartache of an unhappy marriage, or the disappointment of a miscarried pregnancy, or grief over a spiritually indifferent or rebellious child. There's the anxiety of the family breadwinner who has just lost his or her job, and the despair of the young mother who has just learned that she now has a terminal illness. Others experience the frustration of dashed hopes and unfulfilled dreams, a business that turned sour, or a career that just never developed. Still others experience the sting of injustice, the dull ache of loneliness, and the stabbing pain of unexpected grief. There's the humiliation of rejection by others, or demotion at work, and worst of all, a failure that is one's own fault. Finally, there is the despair of realizing that some difficult circumstances, a physical infirmity of your own, or perhaps a severely handicapped child, will never change and will never get better. All of these circumstances contribute to the anxiety and the emotional pain that we all experience at various times and in varying degrees. Some pain is sudden and traumatic and devastating, while other adversities are chronic and persistent and seemingly designed to wear us down little by little over time. On a much larger scale, we read in our daily newspapers, or we watch on the evening news instances of grief, heartache, and pain on a massive scale. War, terrorism, earthquakes, famine, racial injustice, murder, and the exploitation of others occur daily. in various parts of the world. The threat of a nuclear holocaust hanging over our heads has caused this period of history to be called the age of anxiety. This is the age we live in. We live in the age of anxiety. In such days when massive crises appear on our television screens almost daily, even the blood-bought Christian is tempted to ask, where is God? Does God even care? On a much smaller scale, those whose lives are free from major pain still experience the frequently frustrating or anxiety-producing events of daily life, which momentarily grab our attention and rob us of our peace of mind. A long-planned vacation has to be canceled due to illness. The washing machine breaks down the day before company arrives. Your class notes are stolen or lost the day before an exam. You tear your favorite dress on the way to church, and so on and so on. Instances of this magnitude are numerous. Life is simply full of them. And it is true that such mundane events are just temporary and diminish in importance alongside the truly tragic events of life. Yet, for most of us, life is filled with just little events and little frustrations and little anxieties and little disappointments that tempt us to fret and fume and worry and even cry. One author has correctly captured the scene of how such little frustrations can cause us to doubt God in a devotional book for high schoolers entitled, If God Loves Me, Why Can't I Get My Locker Open? Anybody been there? Church, I made it to my senior year in high school, continuing to wear my backpack to every class and avoiding my locker at all costs because I still struggle to open that locker. We may smile at the scene such a title brings to us, but the fact is this is the plane of adversity on which many of us live each day. And it is in the challenge of even these minor level adversities that we are tempted to wonder, can I trust God? Because even when life seems to be going our way and our daily path seems pleasant and smooth and good, we still don't know what the future may hold. As the wisest man, Solomon, said, we do not know what a day may bring forth. Someone has described life as like having a thick curtain hung over one's path, a curtain that recedes before us as we advance, but only step by step. None of us can tell what is beyond that curtain. None of us can tell what even the events of a single day or an hour might bring. Sometimes the receding curtain reveals events much as we expected them, but it often reveals things that we didn't expect and we didn't desire. Such events unfolding in ways contrary to our desires and expectations often fill our heart with anxiety and frustration. And God's people are not immune from such pain. And in fact, it often seems as if ours is more severe at times and more frequent and more unexplainable and even more, I would say, deeply felt than the unbeliever. The problem of pain is as old as the earth that we stand upon. Even creation itself, Paul tells us, all creation is subject to the frustration and groans as of the pain of childbirth. Everything hurts sometimes. So then, what do we do? What do we do when we don't know what to do? Who do you call upon when you just don't see anybody to call upon? Where do you go when you don't see a clear path? What do you do when things just really don't make sense? What do you do when you just don't know what to do? The wise man in Proverbs seems to give a good answer to exactly this. He simply says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, wouldn't it be so nice, church, that every time we got frustrated or angry or hurt or fearful or anxious, we had a small voice in our ears to remind us of these wise words: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In other words, there are times that we are not going to understand, but these are times we have to trust. These are times that we must pray and trust that God has a plan. These are times where we must be patient for the Lord to unfold his plan. These are times where we must believe, as the scripture says, with all of our heart, despite our own lack of understanding, that God knows exactly what he is doing. These are times where, instead of getting frustrated at God and blaming God, we hold his hand and we trust him. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13, Solomon says, consider what God has done. Consider what God has already done. Consider the miracles that he has already performed. Consider his faithful record. He's been there for you before, hasn't he? He's been faithful before, hasn't he? He's answered prayers for you and your family before, hasn't he? So he will be faithful again. He will do it again. He will answer again. He'll perform a miracle for you again. He will show up for you again. He will be there again. When? I don't know. How? I don't know. Where? I just don't know. I'm not leaning on my own understanding, but I know he will, because God does not change. God is always the same. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he is worthy of our trust. He's been merciful before, and he'll be merciful again. He's been faithful before, and he'll be faithful again. He's won battles before, and he'll do it again. He showed up on time before, and he will show up on time again. He's good. He's God. He does not change, and he's worthy, so worthy of our trust. And he shall direct your paths. The one who knows the end from the beginning, the one who knows every situation that you're going to face, the one who knows every one of your pitfalls ahead of time, the one who's full of mercy and grace, the one who knows no impossibilities, the one who can perform any miracle at any time, and the one who always wants the best for you, shall still direct your path no matter what happens in life. So lean not on your own understanding, but trust the Lord. The famous preacher Dwight Moody once said, trust in yourself and you are doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in your money and you may have it taken from you. Trust in your reputation and some slanderous tongue may ruin it. But trust in God and you are never to be shaken in time or eternity. In other words, God can be trusted. God is worthy of your trust. With all of your heart, you can trust him. You may not understand right now, but trust him. You may not see a way out right now, but trust him. You may not see him working at all in your life, but trust him. His timing may not be your timing, but trust him. His plan may have not been your plan, but trust him. He has a better plan. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The NIV says, in all your ways submit to him. He will make your paths straight. The NLT says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. That's my favorite translation of this verse. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Today, each one of us, we place our trust in somebody or something. We all have something that we feel secure and safe in. Perhaps it may be our job, or our spouse, or our family, or our knowledge and education, or our wealth, whatever it is. But are we sure enough that it's going to hold us when the howling winds of adversity are coming at us in full force? When the ground that we've stood upon maybe for years begins to tremble and quiver and shake underneath our feet, will we stay anchored? Is what we are trusting in able to stand through the tests and trials of life? Will it withstand the shaking of the world? Is what we are standing on a firm foundation? In the 19th century, there was a very famous acrobat known for his tightrope skills. And 160 feet above Niagara Falls Church, on a rope, a royal party from Britain observed the acrobat as he went across the tightrope on stilts. Then they watched him as he went across that tightrope blindfolded. After that, he went and he stopped halfway on the tightrope and cooked an omelet. Next, he wheeled a wheelbarrow from one side to the other. Then he returned on that tightrope with a sack of potatoes in the wheelbarrow, all on top of a tightrope. Then the acrobat, he approached the royal party. He asked the Duke of Newcastle, "Do you believe that I could take a man across this tightrope in this wheelbarrow?" "Yes, I do, actually," answered the Duke. "Well, hop in," replied the acrobat. "Come and get in, and we'll take you across this tightrope on top of Niagara Falls. We'll do it right here and right now." However, the Duke declined the invitation. You see, what happened here is that he believed that the acrobat could, that it was a possibility, but he wasn't able to trust him with his own life. And this is the way it is sometimes. We believe that God can. We just don't have the faith to get into the wheelbarrow ourselves. Trusting in God is like getting in it. And perfect trust would mean that we would have perfect peace upon that tightrope. We would be completely persuaded that God knew what he was doing and that we were safe in the hands of God. Oh, yes, we're about to travel upon a tightrope. Yes, we're going to be carried in a wheelbarrow 160 feet above Niagara Falls. Yes, it looks like chaos. Yes, it looks impossible. Yes, I could write up and give you a whole list of reasons what that could go wrong. The average person would probably scream and become fearful, but it's okay for me because I'm trusting God. And lean not on your own understanding. We may not understand how we would get across the tightrope. We may not understand how something might work, but we are trusting the Lord anyhow because he holds our life in perfect place. Church, trusting in the Lord with all of our heart is a call to surrender, to give up our own understanding and control, and to simply trust God. The heart, in biblical terms, it often refers to just the core of our being. That's where our decisions are made and our desires are created and the emotions and our thoughts. It means it's the fiber of our being. Therefore, to trust in the Lord means with every part of our lives we trust him. To trust in the Lord requires an active and intimate relationship with God every day. It's not about blindly following a set of rules or doctrines, but it's about having a personal and living relationship with our Creator. It's about knowing him and loving him and trusting him. It's about throwing away all of our doubts and fears and insecurities and simply trusting God with our life. To trust God means to trust him in all circumstances, whether good or bad. It means trusting him when things are going good and we're on top of the world. But it also means trusting him when we're in the middle of a storm and we just don't see a way out. It means trusting him when we're faced with challenges, difficulties, and uncertainties. It means trusting him when we're hurt and disappointed and heartbroken. It means trusting him even when we don't understand why certain things keep happening in our life. It means trusting him even when we have not found the answers to our prayers. To trust the Lord means to trust him even when nothing makes sense. It means trusting him even when our logic, reason, and understanding tells us otherwise. It means trusting him even when everything around us continues to fall apart. It means trusting him even when our faith is tested and our trust in him is challenged. And it means trusting in him even when we don't see any evidence of God around. I'm reminded of a story of a man in 1555. I shared this story probably a couple times. His name was Dr. Nicholas Ridley, and Dr. Ridley was sentenced to be burned at the stake in England because of his witness for Christ. And on the night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to be of assistance and to comfort him through the night. But Dr. Ridley declined the offer to his brother, saying, "I intend to go to bed and sleep as peacefully tonight as I ever have. I will sleep well tonight." The next day, after a wonderful night of rest, he was burned at the stake. I find it truly amazing that a person could have such peace in such a difficult situation. What allows a man to have such peace? What allows a man to go to sleep at night and sleep better than he ever has in his entire life, knowing that the next day he'll be burned alive because of his faith? What allows a man to sleep peacefully when he knows that he's leaving all of his friends and family behind, never to see them again in this life? It was his unwavering trust in God. You will know when you're really trusting God because you will have perfect peace. You will be able to sleep at night. You'll be able to praise God when you wake up. You'll be smiling in the trials and you'll be singing in the storms. You'll have perfect peace in your life. Listen, I'll just be a couple more minutes. The Word of God predicts some troublesome times between now and the return of Christ. Passages such as Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and the book of Revelation speak of wars and natural disasters and moral decay, persecution of believers, widespread deception. It portrays a world on fire and in turmoil and moral confusion. Today, we are seeing the beginnings of it, and things will get much worse. But church, the Christian shall not fear. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how difficult it gets to you, for you or your family or whatever, the Christian should not grow discouraged, for we are trusting in God and we're holding on to that very promise of his soon return. Soon the Lord will return and all of the trusting will have proven its worth. When we see the land of glory and we're gathered with all the other saints and the angels and when we've traded our earthly garments and we've traded our pain and our scars for a heavenly body and a heavenly robe, and when we've landed in that place of righteousness and peace and life and eternal joy, and when we see the one who died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ, face to face, when we see the one who in his body bore our sins on the cross and who was punished for our iniquities, when we see him face to face, when we see that he still wanted heaven with us, despite our frailty. Trusting in the Lord will have proven its worth. Holding on to God through it all and having faith and walking with Him will have revealed its benefits for eternity. For eternity. So the question is, are you trusting God with all of your heart? Trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. No matter what happens in this world and no matter what happens in this life, don't stop trusting God. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't ever let discouragement win. Don't let the uncertainties of life throw you off course. Don't lean on your own knowledge and understanding. Don't let the troubles of life keep you down, but pray and always trust. Pray and always trust. As that song says, lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. Stay close to Him every day. Don't ever give up, and with all of your heart, trust Him. Trust Him, church. Trust Him until the very end. Let's stand this morning, church. Trust the Lord. Today we are trusting the Lord through life's uncertainties. If there's one thing that life promises us, it's that we will never know for sure. We can plan tomorrow out. We can wish and hope and pray for the best, but we just never know what tomorrow holds. But if we will trust God and walk through life with Him, we know that He will always hold us in His hands. I'm reminded of an old hymn titled, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Her name was Jenny Wilson. She lived in the late 1800s. She was the writer of this song. Her life was marked by adversity. Her father passed away when she was only a baby. At the age of 4, she had a spinal illness that caused her to be bedridden and pushed in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. At 4 years old, she would never walk again. But despite these challenges, she wrote the words to the hymn, Hold to God's unchanging hand. She said, time is filled with swift transition. None on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal, and then hold unto God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will never leave you. Whatsoever the years may bring, when your earthly friends forsake you, still more closely to Him cling. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures that will never pass away. When your journey is complete, if to God you have been true, fair and bright, the home and glory your enraptured soul will view. So hold to His hand. Hold unto God's unchanging hand. Church, are you holding on to His hand today? Are you trusting God with your life? Let me challenge you, because I don't know exactly what's happening in your life, but let me challenge you to just trust the Lord again. Believe on His power again. Rely on Him again. Pray and trust again. Call on Him again. Have faith again. Make your request known to Him again. Put it in the hands of God again. Call out to the Lord again. Ask for help again. Trust Him again. He is worthy, so worthy of our trust.